Next one. I'm gonna have to give you a click word. There we go. That's my family. A whole bunch of us are here. My kids are somewhere in kids ministry. Oh, there they are. That's my boys over there, right there. That's Alex and Zach. My little one is Allegra. She rules the household. My wife Natalia is with me, and we have been in Europe now for about 4 years and a bit. And I have to tell you, I'm still getting used to how great it is. Jesus, give me grace. Give me grace. There are times when I wake up and I'm like, Lord, where's the sun? Could you please just send the sun today? Just to prove to me that you love me, Lord. Send the sun. Because I don't know. I haven't seen it in weeks, Jesus. Please. Just the sun this morning would be good. I don't know if anybody else can relate. Anybody? Come on. I'm not alone. Praise Jesus. I'm not alone. So this morning, I want to chat to you guys about passion. About getting your fire back, yes? Would anybody like to get their fire back? But before I do that, right, my beautiful wife here wrote a book called Original Design. And I wrote a book on worship. And it's available at the back over there if you'd like to grab one after the service. But I want to give this to somebody this morning, yeah? Anybody would like to grab Original Design? Come on, boy. You're welcome to grab it. Daniel put his hand up, huh? Quickly, he was like, me, thank you. I'll have that. It's an incredible book, and it speaks of God's original design for our lives. And it's got to do with our inner healing journey. It's got to do with that journey that all of us have to walk to move from brokenness to health. Yeah? And it relates some of our personal stories and how the Lord himself has come into the midst of our lives and has brought some incredible change that only he can. Do we have parents in the house today? Any mums with kids and dads with kids? Come on, can you put your hands up all the way up there? Come on. Guys, you are so, so welcome this morning. I want to give you an extra kudos. If I could give all of you a badge, right? I would. You know, for getting your kids out of bed, making sure that they're fed and their teeth are brushed and they're in church this morning. Well done. Well done. Well done. Come on. And for the students, come on, let's give them a huge hand. Yeah, come on. And for the students, come on now. To be awake this early in the morning is already a huge undertaking. The Lord loves you, huh? He loves you. And he's grateful that you came to church this morning in Jesus' name. You know, it always amazes me how quickly we fall back into our patterns of busyness. Anybody? Wait, I'm going to say again. Anybody? Anybody every now and again step out of that pattern of busyness and then you make some declarations over your life that I'm going to do this and I'm going to accomplish this and this is where I'm going to go. I'm going to spend more time with the Lord. I'm going to spend more time with friends. I'm going to spend more time with my kids. I'm going to spend more time with my wife. And before we know it, all of a sudden we're back in that circle of busyness again. It's that time of the year, guys. New Year's resolutions time. You know, everybody's like, this year I'm going to lose weight. This year is the year. I'm doing it this year. 3 weeks down the line, it's like, that McDonald's looks really nice. I'm sure the Lord will allow me to have one more this morning. But it happened to the Israelites. The Lord had promised them something. It said, you are going to the promised land. And what was meant to be an 11-day journey took them 80 years. 40 years the first time around the mountain, and then 40 years again around the same mountain. And I think as human beings, we fall into this trap consistently. We like walking around mountains. We like walking around the same stuff over and over and over and over again. When the Lord's greatest desire is to set us free. The Lord's greatest desire is for us to live into that which he has spoken over our lives. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, I've prepared good works for you beforehand that you may walk in them. And the book of Psalms, it says, while you were yet in your mother's womb, I knew you, I formed you, I wrote a book concerning your life. So God's got some thoughts about your life. There's another scripture that says, how great are your thoughts towards me, O God? Come on. God's thinking about you. His heart is filled with you. There's a beautiful scripture that says, who am I that you are mindful of me? It's also a song by Israel Houghton, by the way. God's mind, his heart is full of you. And you might not believe it this morning, but you are so special to God. And his greatest desire is for you to be the best you that you can be. His greatest desire is for you to be free, to live with passion, to live with a desire for his heart, to walk into the fullness of your ability and your capacity. But there are times when life happens, right? Life happens. And I remember about 3 years ago, we had just come to Brussels. Two years. We had just come to Brussels. We came to Brussels on July the 1st. They like prayed for us and they released us into leadership of the church. We don't know anybody, really, truth be told. We're still trying to get our kids settled in school and find out why it's so gray all the time. And COVID hits in February of the next year. So we are fresh into leading a brand new church, transitioning a brand new church, kind of trying to figure out life. And then the year goes by and we do well during COVID, and then we hit the church crisis and it's like, oh my gosh, everybody's got too much time to think while they're sitting at home. And it's just blown up stuff everywhere. And we have to walk through that. And while I'm walking through a really difficult season, and my wife and I are walking through a really difficult season in ministry, I start to lose my joy. I start to allow that which is on the inside of me to on the outside of me to start to affect my insides. And Kun said about earlier on, Ricky is the guy that carries joy. And I have to admit that this is one of the cries of my heart consistently. Lord, let my life be a life that brings joy and hope to others. But I lost hope in that moment. I lost my shine in that moment. And all I wanted to do, my wife will tell you, is sit in my room and read books. Because I love reading. And there I was reading Wuxia novels, it's manga, Chinese martial arts books, where a guy comes from nothing and he fights his way all the way to the top and he becomes the master of the universe. Yay! That's how I spent my time, and I read books upon books about Wuxia guys all the time. I had lost my passion, and I went to Jesus. I said, Lord, I cannot stay here. I cannot stay in this place. In fact, my wife said so too. There are a few things that kill our fire. I don't have enough time today to take you through a long teaching, so I'm gonna go through these points one at a time, and some of them, guys, deserve a preach all by itself. But these are some of the things I just want to make you conscious about this morning, just so that you know that if I allow this thing into my heart for long periods of time, I am gonna lose my joy. I'm going to lose my fire. I'm going to lose my passion for Christ. And I'm going to get stuck again walking around this mountain and never getting to that which God has spoken over my life. Do you guys want to know what they are? Man, they are the secrets of the universe. And I'm going to share them with you right now. You've never seen these things before in your entire life. Never. Fire killer number one. Let's go. Taking offense. Taking offense can kill your fire more than anything else can. People hurt you, right? People say some things sometimes that you wish they would not have said. People say think some things about you, and then they tell your friends about what they think about you. And you've got a choice at that point in time what you're going to do about what people are saying about you, how people are acting towards you, what people are doing to you. You have a choice to make at that point in time. Are you going to allow that offense to take root in your heart, or are you going to bring it to Jesus? Because I don't know if you know this, but in church, you are going to be offended. I'm just going to raise my hand a little bit, okay? Raise my hand a little bit. I want to raise it too high, maybe over here. Because church is not perfect. And the reason it's not perfect is because you've got people in it. And people are not perfect. And people will say things and do things that will hurt you. And you've got to make a decision about how you're going to respond or react to that which people do to you. And sometimes we allow the words that people speak of our lives to take root in our heart, and it causes an offense. And when you see Daniel in church, you're like, oh, I'm not going to talk to Daniel. I'm just going to, like, man, Daniel, who's Daniel? I'm not even going to look in his direction this morning. Yeah, I'm not even going to, he doesn't need to know that I'm angry at him at all. He's offended me. He has hurt me. And the church hurts us. I'm not going to get involved in the church anymore. I'm not going to do anything in the church anymore because the church has hurt me. I've been hurt by the church so badly. Why? Because church are people. And people are not perfect. And this side of heaven, if you think people are going to be perfect, you're going to be disappointed. The only one that is perfect is Him. And we run to Him with our pain. We run to Him with the offenses. And we choose to let go quickly. Amen? So if you want your fire to be killed quickly, hold on to offense for the longest time. The second thing, I'm going to run through these things. Disappointment. Disappointment kills our fire. There's a scripture that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you've been praying and you've been trusting and you have been pushing in for something, but it's long in coming, or it does not come, sometimes disappointment creeps in. When we have expectations of what other people are going, how they're going to treat us, or what we are going to achieve, or how the church should be, and it does not meet our expectations, sometimes disappointment creeps in slowly. And we don't know it, but we walk around with this air of disappointment. Things are just not going the way that I would want it to go. And we can't give ourselves fully to Christ and to the things of Christ because we are carrying this disappointment in our hearts that things have not gone the way that I wanted to go. God, you said, you promised. I remember Isaac and Abraham, Isaac and his wife Sarah. No, man, I'm talking nonsense. It's Abraham and Sarah. Son is Isaac. Thank you, Jesus. You guys are preaching good this morning. They had to wait long. They had to wait long for the promise. And in their disappointment, in their hope that was deferred for the longest time, they started making some plans that were not the plans of God for their lives. And I think sometimes when we have been disappointed for the longest time, we start to take matters in our own hands. Say, God, you are not able. God, you're not listening. God, you have promised, but I'm going to make this promise come to pass now because the Lord knows He doesn't seem as if you are listening to me. So I'm going to do this myself. And we quote scriptures like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And God's like, okay, I will strengthen you for what I tell you to do. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Are you operating from disappointment? Or are you operating from, I have heard what the Lord has asked me to do. Come the third thing. I've told you, I'm going to give you God's secrets of the universe, right? You got this. Busyness. Busyness seems to be the scourge of our modern age. It's almost a badge of pride when you ask somebody, how's your week been? And the first thing they're going to tell you is, busy. Good, very loud. They're not always good. Like, busy. You hear busy more often than you hear good. It's been busy. Man, I'd love for you to come to my house. I'd love to come, but I'm so busy this week. Man, I need you to serve in church. I'd love to, but you know what? I'm so busy at the moment. We're constantly busy. And it robs us of our fire. We get so busy that we become too busy for the things of God. We become so busy that we become too busy to pray. But I've got a saying in my life, Kun. You make time for what is important to you. You make time for what is important to you. You make time. So if this Jesus thing is important to you, you'll make time for this Jesus thing. Because when it's exam times, we make time for exams, right? We get our timetables out. We wake up early. We go to bed late. And we're like, I'm studying. And Kun's like, because we need somebody to lead worship tonight. Wait. I'm busy studying. You've made time for that. Worship team, I struggle with this, sir. I was honest with you. I struggle with this. It's like we practice for like 3 hours on a Thursday, and then somebody tells me, Ricky, I've got exams. Like, okay. It's a couple of hours of studying. It's a couple of hours where you can take a break, actually, and come and practice with us. It's going to be better for you. You had the whole week to study, but those three hours are the most important hours, because if I cram everything into those 3 hours, I will pass this exam. I will. So I can't come because those are the most important 3 hours that I have. We gotta be so careful about what we prioritize in our lives. Because if we don't, we just get into the cycle of busyness that steals our fire. Come, next one. Busyness. Let's go. The next one is materialism. The running after stuff. More is never enough anymore. We want more. How much do you want? More. How much do you want? More. Just more, please. And most people don't even know what they want. I asked my wife the other day, I said, what do we really want? If we don't have a goal, if we haven't written down exactly what it is we want, how will we know when we got there? And most people don't know what they really want. All they know is that they want more. And we are caught in this race of comparison. And we are every day bombarded by the media that comes to tell us exactly what the standard should be. And we want more. We want more. We want more. Not you guys at all. I know it's not you. Not you. Not you at all. But it's something that I've got to constantly go, Lord, what is it that you have for me? What is it that you want for me? Now I'm going to give you some antidotes. Is that okay? I've told you the problem. Now I'm going to give you the solution. From Psalm 23. Fire boosters. These are things that are going to boost your fire. They're going to get you fired up for Jesus in this next season. Who wants to be fired up for Jesus? I'm going to take you to Psalm 23. I'm going to tell you what exactly kept David fired up for him. In Psalm 23, a Psalm of David, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So number one, what is going to keep that fire boosted? Number one, be sourced in God. If you're sourced in God, you lack nothing. If God is the one that said that is the provider of everything that you need, you will never have lack. Imagine my dad is a millionaire. If your dad is a millionaire, right? And you go to the shop. Go to the shop. It's like free game. Anything that I want, I will have. I'll buy a pair of shoes. And if I don't like those pair of shoes, I will just buy another pair. I don't really like that pair, so I'm just going to get another pair. My dad's a millionaire in any case. But if your daddy's poor, right, and you've saved up all of your cash to buy a pair of shoes, it's a life and death situation when you walk into that store. I better buy the right pair of shoes because I only have enough money for one pair of shoes. I better buy the right pair of shoes today because if I don't, I'm going to be stuck with this pair for the rest of the year and I will not like them. You see, our God is the author of the universe. Amen? Everything that we need is in Him. So if we recognize that our God owns everything and He is everything, He will be our source. He will be the one that we run to when we need things. He's the source of our identity. Because sometimes we want to find our identity in what other people say about us, what other people think about us, what others do for us or don't do for us, how people applaud us, how people laud us, how people put a badge on us. But we need to recognize that it's not other people's opinion of us that matters. It's only His opinion that matters. He is our source. He is the source of our identity. And if nobody likes me, if everybody persecutes me, yet God will accept me. I am sourced in Him. Then you will keep your fire going because you will know that your fire is not dependent on other people. Your fire is dependent on the source Himself. And He's got everything that you need. The second thing is, learn to rest. It says He leads me beside still waters. Learn to rest. Learn to rest into Him. And resting is hard, guys. I don't know if I've got the, one of those personalities that want to get things done. So resting can be really hard for me. Because even when I'm resting, my brain's not. Alex, it's just like my brain's still like mile a minute thinking about the next thing. I'm lying down, but I am busy figuring out the whole entire world. We got to learn to rest. We got to learn to lean into Him. And resting is only possible when we are coupling it with trust. When a baby sleeps, I remember Alex was my firstborn. When he would be in my arms, he would fall asleep in a second. Not a care in the world. Not a worry in the world. He could rest because he was in his daddy's arms. He could rest because he was safe. He could rest because he knew that everything that he needed was right there. That's when we can rest. We can rest when we know that God is trustworthy. The next thing that's going to keep our fire is recharging our souls with beauty. He leads me beside quiet waters. Man, I have to admit that when I got to Belgium at first, I thought, what an ugly place. Don't tell other people I said this, right? Just tell you guys in Groningen, because it's beautiful, yeah, right? Look at all of these buildings and all this. These are nice, but when you've seen one historical building, you've seen them all. It's like, okay, this is great, awesome. And I remember back in South Africa, we lived close to the beach. In fact, I could see the ocean from my living room window over there. I would get in my car and I would drive 5 minutes, and I'd be right on the rocks. And there would be dolphins frolicking in the waves over there. And during whale season, the whales would be jumping and they would be blowing over just over the third breaker. right over there. And there was a little cave that my pastor and I used to go and pray in. That we would sit with our fold-up chairs and we'd look out over nature and we would just be filled with the wonder of Jesus. I get to Belgium and I'm like, oh, Jesus, really? Really? And they tell me, go for a forest walk. Go for a forest. I'm like, in the forest. I'm like, ah. Ah. But as I fix this thing, my heart, I started to recognize the beauty in that beautiful country. And all of a sudden, I would walk through the forest and there was greenery and trees all over, right across. And then come into autumn, everything turns all these million colors and it's reds and it's yellows and it's browns. And you're walking through this beautiful woods and you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Then you get into winter and it's snow everywhere. And you're like, oh Lord, this is incredible. This is beautiful. And you hear the woodpeckers in the trees. And I'm like, where's this thing? Where's this thing? Recharging my heart with beauty. Because the heavens declare the greatness of the Lord. Every day it is singing, it's shouting that God is the author of it all. He can be found in every little thing. So when I see those hawks flitting between one tree to the next tree in the middle of winter in Belgium, my heart leaps inside of me because my daddy made it all. And I can recharge my heart with the beauty. I think sometimes we get so locked into our busyness and the stuff that we are doing that we forget that there is something precious around us all the time. I don't know if you guys ever heard that story, but I heard this as a kid about this guy who found a gold coin on the ground. He found this gold coin and he was so happy that he found this coin. And he loved this coin and it changed his life, right? And then from the next day onwards, he started walking with his head down, looking to see if he will find another coin. And for years, this guy that used to walk and smile and whistle as he went to work, forgot all about how beautiful the things around him was. And he became bent down, stooped low, looking for a gold coin. That would never come. And then one day, he got the touch of the Lord on his shoulder and said, look up, my boy. All the riches that you've been wanting has been around you all along. And he looks around and he sees the beauty of nature and the smile comes back on his face and he starts to whistle again and he starts to live again. Sometimes we get focused on the wrong things. You want to recharge your soul when it gets fired up again? Look around you. And see the beauty of Groningen. Next one, quickly, let's get through this. Go to God for guidance. He guides me along the right path for His name's sake. Chat GPT is not where you want to go for guidance. Google is not where you want to go for guidance. Who you want to go to guidance for is Him. He's the one that we need to tap into, guys. He's the one we need to lean into. He's the one that we need to ask for guidance. Lord, what am I meant to be doing? If Jesus did it, I need to do it. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. We do what we want to do. Because like Frank Sinatra, I will do it my way. And we do it our way all the time. It's my way or the highway. And we don't go to God for guidance anymore. God, do I go left? Do I go right? What do I do about the subject choice? What do I do about the next place I need to study, God? What do I do about my kid and the school that he is going to go to? How do I look after my grandkids? It's all decisions that we've got to make all the time. And instead of asking God for direction, we make our own decisions without God. We don't need God because the world is trying to tell us that we are self-determining. Constantly telling to tell us we are self-made. But we are not. We are God-made. And we get to ask Him, Lord, where is it that I need to go? You see, when we say Jesus, come live in my life, we say, God, you are the Lord of my life. So in that moment, He becomes the master of your life. He becomes the one that determines your life. So I don't do anything until I've asked my dad, Dad, where do I go? What do I do? How do I do this? But it's hard for us in modern society to see anybody as having some kind of authority or control over us. But God is a loving Father that has good plans for you. And if my dad had great plans for me and I knew that he's got some really great advice, I would want to go to him first, yes? So go to him for guidance. And let me tell you, it will stir up that fire like you would not believe. Next one. Let's go. I must move. Trust God in the valleys. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You got to trust him. You got to trust him. And trust is hard, right? But you can't trust anybody you don't know. I won't send my kids with anybody I don't know. I need to know that I trust them. And if you don't know God, it's impossible to trust him. It's impossible to lean into him. It's impossible to throw yourself on him. Because how do I throw myself on somebody I do not trust? I was watching a video yesterday, a funny video, right, of a South African dance party. It's like one of these funny shorts, a funny epic fails or something like that, right? And this guy is standing on the stage and everybody's like, hey, hey, hey. And he comes off the stage and he starts doing a stage dive of note, right? And he jumps off the stage and nobody catches him. And he just plonks on the floor, face down, flat on the floor. He didn't know any of those people and he trusted them to catch him. And none of them caught him. They just let him fall. But if we know God, if we know that we can trust him, we can do a stage dive into nothing and know that he's going to catch us. When Peter stepped out of the boat onto waves, he did not sink because he knew that Jesus was there with him on the water. We always give Peter a bad rep, right, for sinking. But I want to give Peter some props for getting out the boat. Like for real. He's only the second person in the Bible that walked on water. He walked for a few steps, but he walked. We are so afraid to take risks nowadays. God tells you to do something, to step out, to do something. And we don't want to take a risk because we live in a culture where we are overly insured. We insured for everything. And we are scared of taking a risk. And then sometimes in church, we ask for leaders to step up and to take leadership. And everybody is willing. I don't know if it's the same with you, my man. But I come, it's like, you want them to take leadership. And the guys are like, wait, hang on. I'll follow. I'll get involved with something that's already going. But I don't know if I actually want to lead this thing. And I'm like, wait, hang on. Take some risks. You've got this. You've got the ability, the capacity inside of you. And if you take God's hand, he will lead you to great places. Next one. Trust God in the valleys. Let God be your defender. It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. This is how I fight my battles. I don't have to fight them myself. I've got the Lion of the tribe of Judah, come on, that's fighting on my behalf. And he is powerful and strong. And he'll take out anything that comes my way. I can trust him to defend me. God is my defender. Let him be your defender. Instead of trying to fight all of your battles yourself, let him defend you. Finally, expect God to finish what he started. He who began a good work in you is faithful to bring it to completion. It says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He will finish what he has started. He started something beautiful in your life. He began something beautiful in you. The moment when you said, Jesus, I am yours and you are mine, he started a transformative work in you. And you will never be the same again. You'll never look the same again. You'll never be the same again. because you cannot come into contact with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and remain the same. He will change your life, and he has started changing your life already. And he began this work. And he is not a quitter. He's not a quitter. What he starts, he completes. Even though sometimes you might not feel like it. Even though sometimes you might feel like God has forgotten you. I want you to understand that God is not a man that he should lie. When he starts, he completes. Amen? I want my fire back. I want to burn for Jesus. I don't want to be, in South Africa, we got a word called shuri. A shuri. When you light a firework, right? Some fireworks, they explode and they're like all over the sky. And sometimes you light the firework and it just doesn't, it's like fizzles out and it's like, what happened? And they said, it was a shuri. It was a shuri. It didn't work. What do you call that? In Dutch? Anything? You don't have a word for it? Well, we made up a word for it because we South Africans call it a shuri. It didn't work. Sometimes the Lord lights us on fire. And we're meant to be fireworks. But we fizzle out. Because we do not stay connected to the source. And God wants us to be connected to him. That we can be everything he's called us to be. Come, Natalia, would you come? We're going to pray. Come. We're going to pray. And we're going to trust the Lord for you together. All right? I want you to close your eyes where you are. That's okay with you. Come, Holy Spirit. Would you come?
Yeah, I just want to pray this morning into the first point that Ricky brought up, and that was taking offenses. And I just feel like as Ricky preached about it, you know, he made it a lighthearted thing, but it's actually quite a painful thing. And I feel like there's a grace here this morning that God wants to release, that if you stand up this morning and you say, God, would you take this from me? Because you've tried to let go of the pain by yourself. You tried to forget the words that people spoke. You tried to forget the emotions. You've tried. You don't want this. You don't want to live in the memories. You don't want to live in the pain of that, the feelings associated with it. You don't want it, and you've tried. But the Lord is here this morning, and he's saying, there's a grace here, and I'm going to rip it off your life, and I'm going to set you free. And I feel like the Lord wants to come and take that from you if you would give it to him this morning. And so if that's you this morning and you're saying, Lord, I want to walk out of this building free from that incident, free from those words, free from that person, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning because it's only something that he can do. And sometimes when we come together in these church environments and we come together as brothers and sisters, there's a grace that comes. There's a magnified presence of God to come, and it's there to do something. It's there to do something tangibly. I can't tell you how many times I've come forward in a church where I've stood up, where I've just responded to God, and all of a sudden my life was never the same again. And so these are one of these moments. And if that's you that says, Lord, my heart is still sore about this thing, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. For some of you, that's going to be a friend that maybe hurt you. For some of you, that's going to be some words that you remember, something spoken about you. Maybe that's going to be from a bad experience. Maybe a church, maybe an experience at work or at varsity, maybe a lecturer. But if that's you this morning and you know you can walk out of here this morning without that anymore, why wouldn't you stand? This is the Lord doing what only he can. Sometimes we need a healer to come and to heal our broken hearts. And the other thing is to heal disappointments. because you can't deny the fact that you expected something and you didn't get it, and we don't know what to do with that. And you've got a father this morning that says, you can give it to me. I feel like the Lord is saying, if you give that to me, you don't have to deny your feelings. You don't have to deny that you still have questions maybe about it, that you don't understand what happened. But he's saying, if you give this to me, I'm going to remove the pain, remove the heaviness, and I'm going to give you fresh hope again. I'm going to give you the ability to trust again. Even though you don't understand, but one day he'll be able to answer the questions of your soul. But that's not necessarily for today, because he can heal you without you understanding. And so this morning, Lord, we just want to bring these people. Yes. This morning, I also want to ask those to stand, those that are needing a defender.
I just felt the Lord saying that he wants to be the Lion of Judah for a few of you. He wants to fight on your behalf. And you've been wanting somebody to stand in the gap for you. You've been wanting a father figure just to take on some of the difficulties that you've been facing. And it's been hard to face it by yourself. It's been hard to fight this battle alone. And God is wanting to fight on your behalf. He's wanting to step into the breach for you. For some of you, it's difficult to lean into a father figure because your own dad wasn't the best. He never fought for you the most as he should have. But God wants to be the defender today. And he wants to fight for you. He wants to fight on your behalf. If that's you this morning, you say, you know what, God, I need you to be my defender. I've tried everything that I can in my own strength. Now I need you to fight for me. I want you to stand this morning, and I want to ask the Lord this morning to be your defender. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
There's also a group here of young people that needs to be standing up, because the Lord wants to impart fresh fire into your lives. And it's like when Ricky was preaching, and you see how excited he is about the things of God, he's saying, I want more of that in my life. I'm desiring for God to literally set me on fire again. And God is saying, you're here, even at this place, even in Groningen right now, because he wants to set you on fire for a time such as now. You were born in this time with COVID and all the craziness that's happening in the world, because God wants to use you, and he wants to use you for your generation. He wants to set you ablaze again. And if that's you, and you know what's the best praise we can even pray? It's the real praise. It's the honest praise. And if you're saying, God, I'm not as excited about my faith as I once was, would you come again and would you restore the joy of my salvation? Then I'm going to ask you to stand this morning and say, God, would you come? Give me fresh joy again. Give me fresh excitement again to serve you, to tell others about you. Lord, just like when it was when I just got saved and everything was new and I could see the goodness and I could read God's word and it would be fresh. It would be new. If you're saying, would you do that again in my life? And the Lord says, I'm going to do that to you this morning. So Lord, I want to pray this morning for my brothers and my sisters that are standing, and they're specifically standing, Lord. I want to pray for those that have been hurt, those that have been disappointed, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, I break every pain that's been associated with that over their lives in Jesus' name. God, all the pain, all the hurt, all the tears, Lord, all the trauma of just remembering words, God, and living under that, we break the effects by the power of the name of Jesus. I break those effects off of your life in Jesus' name. I break that effect off of your heart right now, where you've put up cages, where you've put up barriers. barriers to protect yourself right now. Right now, I break that in the name of Jesus. And I say the Lord's going to heal you. He's going to give you a new heart to trust again, to hope again. And you don't need to protect yourself because you have a protector. You have a defender. And Lord, we bring those places that has been really hard, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would intervene in their situations. You know the pain. Lord, you know. You know. You know. I don't know, but you know. And Lord, you want to heal them. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for you to pour out your healing oil into the deep places of their soul, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, would you remove the memories? Would you remove the negative emotions in the name of Jesus? Come, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I release fire this morning. I release the passion of the Holy Spirit this morning. Father, come, Holy Spirit, and set us ablaze again, Father, for you. Set us ablaze again, Father, for you in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would burn away the dross, Lord. Burn away, Father, the pain, the disappointment, Father, the offenses, the hurt, Lord. Burn it away, Father, in this next season. We bring our hearts before you again right now, Lord, and we trust you, Father, to take this heart of stone, Lord, and to turn it into a heart of flesh once again. Would you blow over us this morning, Father? We pray for the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow in this place, Father, and to set us ablaze, Lord, for the King of Kings, for the Lord of Lords, Father, in Jesus' name. Where we've lost our passion, where we've lost our desire, Father, I pray that you would stir it up, Lord, from our innermost being, Lord. You, the rivers of living water would flow once again, Father, in Jesus' name. Connect us to the source, Lord. Connect us to the vitality of Christ in this next season, Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus, so that we might shine, Father God. We might shine, Lord, like diamonds, Father God, in this world, Lord, in this next season, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you that you give us overturning faith, Father, that you give us mountain-moving faith, Father. You give us gate-destroying faith, Father, in this next season, and that by your power, Lord, every person in this place would step out in faith and they would see, Lord, that which you have spoken come to pass in their time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit of God, as you empower them, Father, as Jonathan empowers, Lord, this church for evangelism in this next season, Lord, I pray for grace, Lord, over them. I pray for spirit of lion, Lord, over them, Lord. I pray for boldness, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray that men and women would come to know you like never before because of the passion and the truth, Father God, of the burning love of Christ that is in every one of their hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. So we release, Father God, your authority, Father. We release your love, Father, over this community. We release your healing, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you that you are working in Groningen, Lord, and you are working in every one of these lives, Father. And I thank you that this church, Lord, the walls of this church will not be able to contain what you want to do, Father God, in this community, in this next season, Father. Bring in families, bring in children, Father, bring in more students, bring in grandparents, Lord, bring in parents, bring in, Lord, bring them all in this next season and let them come to know, Lord, the grace that is found in you in Jesus' name, Lord. We have prayed. I want one more. I want to pray for physical healing before I go. Somebody that's been struggling with nerve endings. Is it you, my brother? There's nerve endings. Just end over here as well. Would you just stand up for me quickly? I just had a sense the Lord wants to bring healing to people that have been struggling with nerve endings. Would you come? Over here, and I'm going to ask the prayer team to come and just lay your hands on them. Is that okay? Would you come stand over here? You've been struggling with nerve endings this last season. You've been having pain. It's been certain parts of your body has just been flaring up every now and again. I had a sense this morning that the Lord wants to bring healing to you. So if that's you, please come, and you can stand right here, and the prayer team will pray with you, and I will lay hands on you in a second as well.
Thanks, man. I want to add something. Why we and this word has sort of been with me since we shared about the earthquake this morning, and we took the collection, and I have the strong feeling that there's a calling from the Lord for our church in this situation, not just for our church, for the wider church, But what I realized while we were praying about this, while we're praying about giving, was what is the location where the earthquake took place? What is the city where the earthquake took place? The city is called Antakya in Turkey. And from that city, destruction has gone out over a whole region. And a lot of death and a lot of carnage has happened. But what is the biblical name for that city? What is the biblical name for the city of Antakya? Who knows that? It's called Antioch. It's called Antioch, and it's in the book of Acts, it's the birthplace of the church. The city of Antioch is the city from which the life of the church, the life of the gospel, has spread all throughout the ancient world. You know, the disciples, they started out in Jerusalem, started out in the Jewish world, but Antioch was the city from which the fire spread. And I believe there's a message in this earthquake. I believe there's a calling for the church in this earthquake, that just as the enemy caused death and destruction to spread from the city throughout the whole region, there's a calling on the church to be Antioch again. There's a calling on the church to spread the life and the gospel of Jesus in all of the directions where we come from. And I believe that's a calling for our church as well. It's a calling for us to spread the life of Jesus wherever we go. So I would like to invite you, if you feel the Lord is speaking to you, to carry the flame of Jesus that Ricky has been talking about this morning, please also stand up. Please also come forward. We'll have the team pray for you. Okay?
Let's stand.